Arthur Mendoza, protege of Stella Adler, teaches Stella's technique exactly as she learned it from Stanislavski himself, the inventor of the modern technique of acting. Arthur helped Stella Adler open her Conservatory West acting school, and after teaching under Stella for over 10 years, he started his own school, Actor's Circle Theater, where he has been teaching for over 20 years now. Arthur has taught and worked with such talents as Mark Ruffalo, Benicio del Toro, Selma Hayek, and Jason Momoa, just to name a few, and has done script analysis with Michael Mann since Dances with Wolves.
Cool, so I'm here today with Arthur Mendoza, who's been in the industry for 30 years. I've actually known Arthur for 20 years, and he's got a huge heart. He really gives to his students, and a lot of his students are working actors today that are household names. You can check some of those on the website. And Arthur right now teaches at the Actors Circle Theater Act 2, which is in Santa Monica on Wednesdays between 7 and 10 p.m. So if you want to audit the class, you're more than happy to come out. He also does private coaching. He works on scripts. He works on movies. And people even call him for consulting on different projects that they're working on. So we're so excited to have Arthur Mendoza here today. On this beautiful Saturday morning, and we're going to talk about some amazing insights for you out there who, whether you're an actor, a writer, a director, because I think the information that he shares is important for everybody that's in the entertainment industry. So with that, thank you so much, Arthur, for being here with us today.
Thank you.
And the first topic we wanted to talk about was, you know, for many of you, if you approach a script, whether you're a director, a writer, or an actor, one of the questions is how do you go through the process of acting, and how do you approach a script if you get a script as an actor? What are some of those steps? And Arthur actually studied directly with Stella Adler, one of the great icons. And from, I don't know when did she first come to
she came
to the United States?
There was a big variety splat that Adler does the unthinkable. She comes to Los Angeles, a place she...
Do you know what year that was?
God, no. I just finished graduate school. So I had already met her in New York in an introduction letter through Alan Schneider. And they took away my... I was supposed to go to Milwaukee Rep and do Julius Caesar, which meant I was going to hold a spear. And instead, I went to meet Stella Adler and stayed at the Milford Hotel and met her and started doing battle. She loved me and I loved her, but, you know, my first session, I was asking too many questions. And she went up and grabbed me by hair, very long hair. And she said that I was a Latino man. I was from the Mayans and Aztecs. And she was a Jewish broad from Odessa. And she didn't have any business talking to me that way. And then she said, "How do you feel, darling?" And I said, "Well, I know I'm from Texas and Mayan, but what about Romeo?" And she looked at me straight in the eye and said, "I should start at the top." And we started, I got two words. She said, "That's horrible." And I said, "I haven't even started. I just three." I said, "You don't know what you're doing." I said, "What do you mean? Just start it again." I said, "What are you saying? In today, what would you say? What the fuck? What is that there? That's what you're saying. All but softies. What the fuck? What is that? You don't see her. You're playing it like you already see Juliet. You don't see her yet. All you see is there's a light up there. You don't know what the light. You don't even know if this is the right place. You just climbed the tree hoping that this was her place. And the light turns on. You go, oh my God." And then she comes out, and then you say Juliet. And then there's light there behind her. So it looks like the sun is coming up, and it's all there. It's all in the words. And I didn't understand that. I kept thinking if you just felt it and mooned a little bit, you could do something. And I was horrible. And from that moment on, we went the entire speech. And by the end of that speech, I felt like I was like literally elevated. My mind was completely challenged. Everybody was clapping. And all of a sudden, there's a great play I love, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And in the play, Martha says, "Snap." It just went snap. And that's what happened with me. And so those moments happen. If you're clear in your life, you go, oh, that this is it. If you don't hear the snap, it's there, but you're avoiding it. And if you put your ear to the life, it's right there. And you know, I bought this, I rented this apartment, I knew it. And I kept courting this apartment. I courted the condo, I courted my house. I do this circling where I sense the snap. I told Ryan about the next place. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know I want it. And so I'm starting that circling to put my mind and my finances and my world in that universe.
So with the process of acting, when an actor gets a script, and what is the process that Stellar taught you directly as far as actually understanding?
Well, the mistake an actor makes,
yeah,
is you've got to read the whole script. I was working on an audition at Stella's in between our break, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm working on these pages." "For what?" I said, "It's a film. But we'll work on it." I said, "It's just," she said, "give me this. I don't have the script." "Well, you can't go." I said, "Stella, you can't just do pages. You've got to know the story. Where does this character?" I said, "Stella, it's not a big part." Well, then don't do it. I said, "Stella, I want to do it." She said, "Well, I don't want you to." I said, "Well, I've got to. I'm going to get more experience." Any director or actor or producer who wouldn't give you the whole script, you don't want them. I said, "Okay. So these are called sides, Stella. Well, let me hear them. They're horrible." I said, "Well, you don't know the story. Neither do you." And I said, "She's right." And from then, there was she did dissect it. She made it clear. You don't dissect it. It's like she would say, "The writer's on the other side of a wall, trying to get to you. And you making the right sounds will make it connect. The sounds of the ideas of the character." And you have to, as an actor, when you get a part or you're lucky enough to get the whole script, you read the whole script. The thing that actors do, which kills them, is they memorize the lines. You memorize the lines first and it's dead. I don't care what it is. Every scene, every size will have something. You just can't see it. It'll have something. Where are you? You know, we do in technique. It's like to chat, to argue, to discuss, to fight. It will, somewhere in there will be an idea and a rhythm. Ryan read his script, and I could, they just got the rhythm and it was right. Because the rhythm was there. "Shut up." No, see, when you hear those words, who says "shut up" to you? That's something familiar. Then all of a sudden you've got the beat of that. Anybody that would say "shut up" or "I don't know," any of that crass word, they're not going to be your boss.
Right.
It's not going to be the Pope. You understand? So if you just look at the rhythm of it, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there. Right. And you have to stop looking at the period. Punctuation is for high school. When they sell those little Folger Shakespeare thing, those are a mess. They're for high school kids. Periods are meant so people don't keep reading. Get rid of all the punctuation. See what the rhythm is. See what the words are and try to find it. Now, there's the old school and new school. The old school of Shakespeare says the iambic pentameter, you know, but there's the new. I studied both. I actually studied Folio, which is the real books of Shakespeare. And not the real ones, but the ones back as far as they know. They don't have the actual Shakespeare. There's different folio, different study. And you can look at the folio. Like I assign people, kids have quit in my class. Because the first thing, one of the beginning things to do is get a sonnet book. And it scares people. It's like, what? I lost a kid. His mother said he doesn't want to do Shakespeare. He just wants to work on audition stuff. And we, okay, sorry.
Yeah, what is the point of the audition?
Well, actors think, the actors see TV. They go to the movies, and they think they can do that.
If they just memorize the line.
Yeah.
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 That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's a disaster. And when the worst disaster is if the kid gets the gig.
Yeah.
Because then you've got a job that you have no idea how you got there. And you are screwed. And then you get a manager said, "That's good. Just keep doing that. So I can pay for my house in Barnard Carl. Just keep doing that.
Let's just get in a bad
program. Let's get some more.
Yeah.
They don't ask the actor. So you go to a film, and there's the guy, you know, with a gurney. There's moving. All of these things. And the actors are standing. They don't even have a second. They don't even make you stand there. Let somebody else, you know, with your skin tone, they're gonna, it's like, what is this about? Aren't you gonna take the character, the actor? Shouldn't he be kind of one movie of all the ones? Said, let's work on the scene. So the three of us got there. I said, good, a little faster. That's it. And I did it. And he said, that's it, good. Okay. My job isn't to do my film. I'm hired to do his film. And as long as he's happy, within the bending of your respect. And I was so bored, I went and got a donut. I love donuts. So I'm eating a donut and waiting. And because I won't let my second, if I'm going to work, I want to be there.
Yeah.
And I'll sit there because I want to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I did deep covering. I said, sit there on the cup. I said, all right. So you're watching, you bought the whole theater and you had them run this movie that your wife loved. Just you.
Yeah.
So I put my feet up and I put my arm above here and I was just, because I was seducing the art director. Can you do that? What do you mean? He was telling me to do what I was already doing. Good. Can you do that? Can you hold that? Can you slump more? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I gave him an idea. I brought something to the table.
Yeah.
But if you just stand there and say the lines, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense. It petrified me when I was writing with an Uber driver. Yeah, I'd like to come study. I just need to brush up. I want to do some scenes. And I went, oh, dear. And I didn't want to say, you're not for me. I wanted to say, come see it. You know, I've got actors that work privately with me, but they get to audit for free and they won't come. They don't want to see what they don't know.
Yeah.
That's what's so. And the hardest thing for me is to lie. I can't lie. I'm not good at lying at all. I can't tell you you're good. You know, this mother of a new student said, I said, he can do that. How do you know? I said, I don't know. I don't know if I know that. I just know. If he wants to do that, he can do it. How long it's going to take, I have no idea. If it ever happens.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite actors in class don't work because they're stuck and they don't know how to deal with the industry. The industry is like, Stella said, you'll never act. I said, why do you say that? I said, you won't be able to tolerate what they're going to put you through. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're too talented. I said, oh, great. So I'm going to walk around too talented. I said, you won't do it. And when I had that audition at Paramount, and I walked in, and it was a rough day, and she said, are you really Mexican? I said, yes. Well, you're awfully tall. And I said, I'm sorry, you don't look like the busboys and the guys who wash your cars.
Yeah.
I'm Mexican. Somewhere the Viking came to visit us, and we got tall.
Yeah.
I said, I don't mean to offend you. I said, well, it is. I can go get a pot of beans and my serape in the trunk. I said, I'm not. I called my agent and said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I can't bend over enough to be what they want me to be.
Right.
I love that line Barbara Streisand had, the nuts. I will not be nuts for you. I will not be Mexican for you. What does that mean? What does that mean? My high school teacher said, Shakespeare's not for you, Arthur. I looked at the book and said, what's it? Oh, Shakespeare's not for Mexican. I went, okay. And I bought it. Then I went to graduate school and played Hamlet. And they sent a little flyer. I said, good thing I didn't listen to you.
Right. Yeah, so with Shakespeare, because I know when I first looked at Shakespeare years back,
uh-huh.
It didn't make sense.
And no.
I think at the time I was impatient and I was trying to get the part.
Right.
And a lot of people are just, you know, they're just trying to get the part. And so
they want to
skip over the process.
And when they go to class, they want to go home with something.
Right.
They want to go home with a little morsel.
But over the last couple of days, as I was reading these words with Shakespeare and looking at the definitions and looking at the feelings and what's behind it, and there was more of a life than just the, like, initially I just looked at the words and I'm like, oh, I'm going to say these words. But as I looked at the definition, this whole life unfolded behind the words.
And it's monumental.
Because, a key, just even a key.
Yes. I don't
opening up a door.
The reason I do sonnets.
Yeah.
is because they were invented because of the plague and people couldn't go in public places, so they wrote these sonnets. And with the sonnets, you don't have the whole play. I have a student who's knocking Hamlet out of the park. First kid has ever done it.
Yeah.
Driving me crazy. I give him another one, he knocks it. And he hated it at the beginning. What am I going to do with this? I figure it out. And he went away for a couple of weeks, and he came back, and he understood it. Now he wants to do Henry V. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
It when it reveals itself to you, what they don't understand is you can, it's easier to get a part in Star Wars if you know how to do size.
Right.
If you already know this stuff, you can reach in those big things.
Yeah.
And realize that yelling is not size.
What, like one viewpoint when I looked at the sonnet, because it's only maybe 12 lines.
Right.
Is like, oh, these are 12 lines. But as I looked at each line and I defined it and I looked at the energy behind it and the feeling behind it and what it really meant on a broader level, there was a whole life.
When you say, look in thy glass.
Yeah.
Now, glass, we think of a cup. He's saying a mirror. Look in that glass. And he's making you, there's something, I got to be looking at myself.
Right.
So you've got a sonnet that you're trying to convince them. Look in the mirror. What's wrong with you? Look at there. Now's the time you have now that you should make another. Because you got to remember, they didn't live to 40.
Right.
You know, Romeo and Juliet was an age you got married, like 13, 14. They didn't live that long.
And they didn't have so many distractions. So
no.
When they looked in the mirror, they actually, there's a whole life in the mirror. Like, oh my God, like. What's going on?
And it changes. Their life changed. Right. They didn't have cream.
Now we
they didn't have. They didn't have vitamin. They didn't have scrubs. They didn't have moisturizers. They didn't have toilets.
Yeah.
So it was a different world.
Yeah.
And it was much more diseased and rough.
Arthur Mendoza has been in this industry for most of his life. His wisdom and experience allow him to train more than just actors. He trains artists. Arthur Mendoza teaches class every Wednesday at Santa Monica Playhouse from 7 to 10 p.m. and coaches privately. Visit actorcircletheater.com for more information.